Welcome to episode 364 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace.
This is Nick.
And I'm going to ask you this question, Nick. Did you hear those sirens when the intro music was playing?
No.
Oh, okay. Right when I was coming home right now, like, I must have missed it by literally 2 minutes because there was no emergency vehicles on the scene yet, but there was a massive accident at the intersection that's like kind of two main cross streets, like two blocks from my house. And yeah, it was a pretty big crash. So anyway, a fire engine must have just pulled up, but glad you couldn't hear it. I'm sure you'll be able to hear this.
Yeah, I can hear that.
It's a LaCroix. It's non-alcoholic.
Just getting a little... Oh, well. Cheers.
Maybe I'll pour a little vodka in it. All right. I'm sure that all you listeners did not tune in to hear what Nick and I are imbibing. Maybe you tuned in to hear our Denver Comic-Con preview. And I do understand that this is coming out early Friday, the same day the Denver Comic-Con starts, but it's still a preview. It's still being released, you know, before the convention starts. Whether or not you listen to it before the convention starts, you know, that's not really up to us. But I hope that if any of you are going to be at Denver Comic-Con, let Nick and I know. As we've mentioned many times on the podcast, we love to meet listeners, love to hear what you like about the show, love to get pictures, love to give you free stuff. Free Comic Source lanyards. Find us at the show. So let me ask you, Nick, if you had to pick one, what's the number one thing you're looking forward to at DCC?
Like person to see or just in general?
Just what, I mean, it could be a person to see. It could be whatever you want. What has you most excited?
I'm really looking forward to seeing David Harbour, but I'm also looking forward to being shown how to do a convention correctly in general. and to also be to my second ever convention. Like this, right. Like it was fun just walking around this part where they're selling stuff. And
all right, fair enough. So let me, just to give a little background. So the first convention Manny ever went to was WonderCon. And I told him, I was like, okay, if you want to see, like, I've been to a lot of conventions. I kind of have like a flow, kind of the way I do certain things. If you want to see, then, you know, by all means, feel free to tag along or completely go off on your own. And he went off on his own and just kind of did his own thing. And then we were just there for the day. We literally drove up early in the morning and then left that night. We only went on Saturday. And then after, I was like, yeah, so I was talking to Scott Snyder and this and that. And he's like, what? I'm like, I told you to hang out with me and, you know. But, you know, if it's your first time, you kind of want to just go out on your own and kind of explore. So it's kind of good that you already have been to a convention before, specifically this one. So I'm sure there's going to be things that you'll know. I'll be asking you, like, hey, do you know where this is? Do you know where that is?
That's why I learned the quickest. Right. I learned day one to pack light.
Oh, yeah. You do. Your bag does get heavy. It's tough, too, when you we have to carry like around recording equipment, and you know, if you're doing video, you gotta have a tripod. Which I'm gonna bring my tripod. I don't know if we'll do any video, but I have it just in case. I don't know if I'll actually bring it to the show, but I want to actually get one of those Hero Within like blazers that have like all the pockets on the inside, because my goal. Yeah. And they're going to have a Superman one for the first time. They've only ever had Batman before, but they're going to have a Superman one, not at this show, but at San Diego Comic-Con. They're supposed to, you know, providing everything goes okay with the manufacturing and it makes it through customs and everything. I'm going to be first in line on preview night to go get that, because it really would be so nice to walk around like San Diego Comic-Con with no bag at all and just have like all my digital recorder and microphones and everything I need, like just in the pockets of this blazer. It's really cool. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But you're right. Packing light is key. Wearing comfortable shoes is key. And just having a little bit of a plan. Like, you know, we've done several shows where we talk about like the way to get ready for conventions. And it's a fine line, right? Like if you try to over plan or like plan every second of the show, I find what happens is you're literally running from one place to the other and you don't take time to enjoy what you're doing, because you're thinking, you know, you're looking at your watch going, okay, as soon as it's over, I'm going to go blah, 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 blah. And you're not in the moment. That being said, it is beneficial to do a little bit of planning. Like, it's like anything in life. I think the more you put into it, the more you'll get out of it. But again, you can't like plan for every eventuality, or build yourself in breaks. And I always tell people, and this is especially true of Comic-Con, less so with bigger conventions, but if there's one thing that you want to do, like if, for example, if Nick's thing is I'm most excited about seeing David Harbour, then you get all the information you can about whether it's you want to go to his autograph signing, his photo op, his panel he's going to be doing, whatever it is that's your thing about him that you want. Like, get all the information you can and plan that and put that, you know, in your head in like bright neon and saying, if I accomplish this one thing, then I'm going to consider it a successful show. And then everything else you build around it, right? Again, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, last year, all it was be at these panels, hit these panels. Cause like I wanted to just, that was the main thing I was focused on. Cause I don't know. I'm poor/cheap. So I don't pay to meet the celebrities or pay to get the autographs or
no, any of that. I don't even feel that I'm like a cheap person. You know, I just feel like they're a person and I'm a person.
Yeah.
I've had this conversation with people before, like, whose autograph would I pay to have, right? Like, not to resell or anything, but just pay to have, you know, and for me, when I do get autographs, which is really rare for me these days, because I'm friends with so many creators. Now I feel weird asking them to autograph my book. I can't explain it. It just feels weird now that I know them personally.
The sketches sound cooler anyway.
Yeah.
Your sketchbook sounds cooler than an autograph book.
Yeah. But I mean, if it's a writer, it's like, what are they going to sketch, like a stick figure or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I just feel like that being said, there are certain things like I consider Charles Soule a friend. But it was his debut novel, you know, so that didn't feel weird. But like, when I ask Tom King for an autograph now, I feel weird. It's like, you know, if I see him, we usually start just like chit chatting and it's not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, well, it's hard to explain.
Having lived in LA, like where you are just supposed to ignore the celebrities, like I would never. Like, I guess people pay for the photo op and like 5 minutes to talk with them too, but
5 minutes. Well, it depends on the show. Sometimes it's more like you have 5 seconds. Yeah,
that's what I was wondering. Cause I had never even done it, but like you see at your Denver Comic Con, you see other local people, friends who have like pictures of them with a celebrity or whatever. It's like,
yeah,
you pay like $50 to get that. It's not like, I don't know. It doesn't hold any value to me the same way. Yeah, if I eventually had money, I'd do a sketchbook. That's what would hold value to me.
Yeah, well, for me, it's like it's the experience of meeting them and talking to them. And when you do – and again, it just depends on how popular they are. They want everybody in their line to have a chance. I mean, it's a couple things, right? They're there to meet as many fans as they can because you don't want the people in the back of the line. You know, I mean, they're waiting a long time. So if you spend 10 minutes with the person in the front of the line, it's not really – you know, it's not really fair is how they look at it. Plus, you know, they're there to make money. Honestly, it's their job, right? So there's that aspect of it. So you want to get to as many people as possible. But I just feel like you're kind of, you know, if it's a really popular celebrity and the line's huge, they're not going to remember you. You know what I mean?
No, exactly. Like, that's why, like, I don't know. I think I'll have a better time following you around and just having listen, like being with you when you talk to artists than I will. Like, I'm not going to go into one of the celebrity tents and be like, I want to see David Harbour.
Yeah. I mean, I oftentimes,
I want to see his panel, but I don't intend on meeting him.
Yeah, like oftentimes I'll cruise through there just to look who's got long lines, see who's there or whatever. But yeah, it's just like at Phoenix Comic Fest recently when my wife and I ran into Greg Grunberg on the escalator. I guarantee you our interaction with him is more memorable for him than, you know, a lot of the people that were in his line. And it's no knock against those people. It's just that the way that we met him and interacted with him was unique compared to, you know, the shows he does where it's just meeting people in line. You know what I mean? And by no means do I want to make it sound like I'm some convention expert. I've been to 1,000 conventions. I know what to do. But it all comes down to experience, right? Like I've been to enough conventions now that I kind of know like how to plan for them. And, you know, there's so much information. Most conventions now, if not all, are going to have a website. They're going to tell you who's going to be there. as far as celebrities, you know, that's usually movie and TV. When we say celebrities, they're going to tell you what comic book talent's going to be there. Denver has these things they call real heroes, that you don't see at a lot of shows, which is kind of unique, which I think is interesting, where it's people behind the scenes, right? Like maybe it's sound editors, or stunt coordinators or cinematographers or something like that. So I think that's a really cool resource for people that are trying to get into the film business, to talk and, you know, get to meet those people. And they've got panels and everything. And so I, like, more so than any convention I've ever seen, there's a lot of that, which I think is really cool. Also the websites are going to have like the panel schedule, what panels are at what times or what rooms, and other information. So, yeah, I think if you do a little bit of prep, you put in a little bit of time, you know, you pick your two or three things that you're most looking forward to, you know, focus on, okay, what do I need to get that out of the way? And you know, on a smaller show, maybe you can pick two or three things. San Diego, I always tell people, pick one thing. Like if there's one Hall H panel that you want to see, like make that your priority. You cannot try to do too much at San Diego. You know, like if it's meeting Robert Kirkman, just like make that your one goal and consider it a successful convention. And then once you've accomplished that, if you do it, you know, the first couple of days, then you can maybe get a secondary goal or whatever. So I would say for me, I'm most looking forward to just going to a convention that I've never been to before, and hopefully meeting some creators that I've never met before. I was trying to go through the list and see if there's anybody on there that I was like, oh, I really want to meet this person. I really want to meet that person, because maybe they don't go to West Coast shows. I mean, I know there. If I were to finally get out to an East Coast show, I would probably have a better chance at meeting someone who doesn't come west. I mean, Denver's still, you know, probably considered a Western show. So just going through the list, really, I don't really see anybody that I haven't met before that maybe is local to Denver, you know. But, I mean, there's a few people on here that I've never met before. Ron Wilson, Paris Cullins, So we'll see. I mean, the other thing is going to San Diego every year. I mean, that brings people from all over. So, but yeah, that's what I'm really looking forward to. Just, you know, going to a new show that I haven't been to. And as we go through the list of guests, I'll talk a little bit about some of the creators that I've talked to that maybe we're going to have on the show. So I'm going to just go through really quickly the list of people. Alan Tudyk's going to be there. I don't know if I probably won't get a chance to talk to him. It's been a while since I've seen Alan. We're always threatening to have him on the show, but it just never works out. He kind of like right when we were planning on like him coming on is when he got the role as, K2SO. I think it's K2SO.
I have a pop figure of it over there, but I can't read it from here.
Anyway, right before we were going to make a firm plan to have him come on to talk about Con Man the series and Con Man the game is when he got cast in the Star Wars movie. And that like elevated – I already thought the guy was, you know, great and, you know, popular and everything. But, you know, from Firefly and different things that he'd done. But that like raised his level of popularity up so much and he was getting so many interview requests. And he hired he already had like a management – person. But then after that, like Lucasfilms, I think like said, okay, we now, because you're in Star Wars, we provide you with the publicist, and that person became the gatekeeper. And then that was nowhere near big enough for Alan to come on. You know, I couldn't get past it. I mean, if I'd have run into him or some of the other people I knew that knew him, I probably still could have pushed it and made it happen. But I was like, you know, you never want to ruffle feathers and I don't know Alan well enough to say, okay, let's, just have you come on or whatever. But that's kind of died down a little bit now, so who knows? So I don't know if he's going to have anything else going on besides just his signings and his photo op. But I've been to panels that he's done before, and he's hilarious. He's a lot of fun on panels. So any plans? Are you a fan of Alan Tudyk?
Yeah, I'm from actually different. Well, Star Wars, obviously. I've actually haven't seen Firefly yet, even though I owned it once. No, but like when I grew up, he was Steve the Pirate in Dodgeball.
Oh Oh yeah, that's a.
And most importantly, it's a small role, but he was on Arrested Development, which is my favorite show of all time, multiple times. So he has a fun running character on that show. So
I first really became a fan of him when he did A Knight's Tale, you know, that Heath Ledger movie.
I never saw that one.
I love his character in that movie. Anyway, moving on. The next person I'll mention, Amy Jo Johnson, Power Ranger, not my thing, but I'm sure she'll have plenty of people. Andrew McCarthy, which is interesting, because he sure hasn't done any kind of nerd superhero film kind of thing. I'm mostly known for his 80s stuff, Pretty in Pink and Some Kind of Wonderful and whatever. So kind of interesting.
I think he pairs up with another guest later, I think.
Yeah, that's possible. Let's see. Bonnie Wright. That's she's going to be pretty busy, I would imagine. She played one of the Harry Potter people Ginny Weasley. Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask. I don't know the movies that well, but I thought she was Jenny.
I only know because my wife is such a big fan. The aforementioned David Harbour. I don't know. He played some guy called, or is going to be playing some guy named Hellboy. I don't know if you ever heard of.
And he's also been on something. I think they call it Stranger Things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It's on Netflix.
What I find so interesting, I've never seen Stranger Things. Don't really have I remember it being such a huge, oh my God, Stranger Things, and it's like nostalgia for the 80s, which that's my decade. That's the decade when I was a kid. So I remember the 80s, and there's so much nostalgia for the 80s, and I think because I lived through it the first time. And I don't know, it was, I have some nostalgia for some things about the, I don't know, it's kind of weird. So many people that grew up during the 80s have nostalgia for it and think back on it fondly, especially the music. Man, I can't stand 80s music. It's like I listened to it once and when I was living it, and that was enough for me. So I find it so interesting that this show, and I'm sure it's because it's a quality show, not just that it's, you know.
Well, it's a definitive decade for movies. That's and true. Stranger Things is capitalizing on a lot of the references from the 80s and
But here's the thing about it, right? I find that so many of the people I know that love Stranger Things and are such huge fans of Stranger Things
weren't born until the 90s.
My parents love it. They're 65.
So yeah, it's interesting. I guess
I had to get them into it though. I had to force them to watch it.
All right. Well, up next, David Tennant is going to be there as well. He seems he'd be a really interesting guy to talk to.
He'd be cool.
I've never seen it. Excuse me. I've never seen an episode of Doctor Who.
Me neither.
That's what he'll always be most known for. But I know he was also in Jessica Jones as the Purple Man,
and he was in Fright Night, the remake,
which creeps me out. I don't know.
He's so good in the Fright Night remake.
But he also was in another BBC show, right? He's popular
for show that always has the beach. Yeah, Broadchurch.
Yeah, again, never seen it, whatever, but he just seems like somebody who would be interesting to talk to. Hasn't he done a superhero movie too? Hasn't he been, other than Purple Man, has he done anything, or is it just Purple Man?
Not that I can think of. The biggest movie role I can think of for him is Fright Night.
Wow.
But you skipped Daniel Logan.
Daniel Logan. Oh yeah. Daniel Logan, he played Jango Fett, right?
No, he played Kid Boba
Fett. Oh, Kid Boba.
So,
there's
a small chance he could be in the new Boba Fett movie they announced, but they probably go with a different actor or the old guy instead.
He's all grown up now because that movie was a million years ago. 10 years old.
2003?
Yep, couldn't tell you.
2002.
I'm not the style. I find those to be interesting. The people that what's his name? Jake Lloyd. I mean, his fans, Star Wars fans drove him insane, and I think he's in a mental hospital now. But when they play the roles as kids and then they just keep going to these shows forever, it's like they don't even look like they looked in the movie. Do they still? I don't know. Kind of weird. How about Graham McTavish? Are you familiar? I'm not familiar with him at all, but I see him at all these shows. I have no idea who that is.
No, he looks awesome. Is he one of the Highlander guests? I've never seen that show.
Outlander?
Yeah.
I think he's from Outlander. Our listeners that love Outlander are cussing at their iPhones right now.
Sorry. but JDF. I don't know. He looks badass.
JDF is going to be there. Jason David Frank, probably the most well-known of the Power Rangers. Played the Green Ranger. He's like, he's a legit MMA fighter. Like, he's fought in MMA. And he also played Bloodshot in the Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe thing. So
you skipped right over a Game of Thrones character, even though I don't like Game of Thrones.
Who?
You're skipping lots of people.
I'm not going to go over every single guy. We'll be here all night.
That's true. But Isaac, I don't know. He's like the kid on Game of Thrones. There's like four Game of Thrones guests.
Again, never seen Game of Thrones in my life. Don't know.
We can skip them all then, because I don't like it. So.
Well, then stop stopping me. Unless there's somebody specifically that you're excited to meet.
Okay. I don't know. I thought we were covering the biggies, and I'm like, most people will consider GOT a biggie.
If I don't know who they are, I don't consider them a biggie, personally. Like, I know, like, I don't watch Game of Thrones, have never watched it, but the next person I'm going to name, I know is in Game of Thrones. So even though I've never seen it, even though I've never watched it, they're so big that I know that they were in Game of Thrones. So to me, that's like, I know Peter, like Peter Dinklage, for example. That's not who it is, by the way, but like Peter.
This next one's probably the biggest names.
You think so? Jason Momoa, you think is
either him or the guy they just added. He's an older name, but he's a famous name.
I don't know who that is either. But anyway, let's talk about Momoa for a second. He's going to be playing Aquaman. He's somebody I'd love to have on the show. I actually approached him one time to have him on the show at a Long Beach Comic Expo convention right after he'd been named as Aquaman. And he was at his table and nobody was like – you could have just walked up and talked to him. And I mean, I don't know if he would have charged you for an autograph or whatever. He probably would have. I mean, I know he was charging for autographs. I'm just saying, I don't know if you could have walked up and talked to him. If, like, do you have to buy an autograph? So it depends on the guest. Some you do, some you don't. But anyway, he ever since Justice League came out, his star has really been on the rise. So yeah, and I know he was Conan. He also played in Game of Thrones. I have no idea what character he played or anything, but this next person I'll mention, also pretty big. John Barrowman, right? You've heard of him?
Only because of the picture suggests he's either from Arrow or Legend of Tomorrow. I can't tell which.
I mean, first was on Arrow and then Legend of Tomorrow. He's a pretty he's a pretty big name too. I'm surprised you don't know him. He was definitely on Arrow as Malcolm Merlyn. But he's very popular in I guess nerd culture.
Yeah, I just haven't gotten into the CW shows except for the episodes that have Constantine in them. I've watched all those.
Yeah, he played Captain Jack Harkness on the BBC show's Doctor Who and its wildly successful spinoff Torchwood. So I think that's where he kind of got his name.
He'll probably be part of like a Doctor Who panel.
And so since then, I mean, he's played Malcolm Merlyn. He's been a bunch of the DC shows. Junis Suotamo? Who's this really super tall guy that plays Chewbacca in the Solo movie, Han Solo movie? So that he
and The Last Jedi, he does all the heavy, he does all the hard stuff that Peter Mayhew couldn't do in Force Awakens and Last Jedi. Also,
he would be somebody interesting to talk to, being that he's so new to the Star Wars culture. But also this guy that plays Archie, right, in the Archie, the Riverdale, he's going to be there. It'd be interesting to see what kind of line he has. There's some other game of, I recognize this guy as like a Game of Thrones guy. He looks like,
people love him. He's Hodor.
Oh, Hodor.
Even I know his name, but I don't watch it.
I was going to say he looks like, what I would picture Friar Tuck would look like in Robin Hood. Maybe he played, look at that picture in the bottom right of this thing.
Maybe he's playing Friar Tuck in the Robin Hood movie that's like coming out literally later this year.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm looking for. He's been one of Ireland's most prolific resident house DJs. Wow. I'd love to talk to that guy. That would be crazy. House DJ. Dude, he went from house DJ to Hodor. Hilarious. Let's see. Who else should we mention? Molly Ringwald. Is that who you were saying? Andrew McCarthy.
Yeah. Well, you skipped one that's kind of important to
fan nerdom. We'll go back. But yeah, I didn't even realize Molly Ringwald was there until I was going through. But yeah, you're right. There's probably
that's a pretty big name.
Pink or some kind of wonderful VIP package you can get where you can get pictures of both of them. That's interesting. Who did I skip? The Maddie guy?
Yeah, Maddie Ropoli or something. I don't know. Ropol?
Who's that?
He's he was on Stranger Things 2 as the arcade guy. But he also had a cameo in Ant-Man. So he's been in the MCU. So aren't
there supposed to be a bunch of Stranger Things kids there, and they all bailed?
Yeah, they all had the MTV. They all had the MTV Movie Awards. It's like, how do you not plan that in advance?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, last year, I forgot who bailed, but that's the only reason John Cusack came last year. Someone that giant bailed. Mm. Like this year, they got a different guy to come in after. Colin, they lost a lot of people this year.
Palm Clementif, Mantis in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah. Nebula was going to be here, too.
Karen Gillan, yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to meet Mantis, she's going to be here. Ray Park, who recently reappeared in a Star Wars movie. Wouldn't have thought that. I mean, played Darth Maul in...
spoilers.
Phantom Menace. Yeah, spoilers for Solo. He may or may not be in Solo. This next guy's pretty big. Ron Perlman.
Another Hellboy.
Yep. And probably... I mean, he's been in so many great things, but yeah. I think a lot of people know him from Sons of Anarchy, which is a great show. But I love him in... if you ever saw the Jude Law movie, Enemy at the Gates.
No.
You say you're a cinephile, and I'm naming all this stuff that you haven't seen. Like,
no one can see all movies that are considered good.
I know. But if I consider it a must-see, then you should... You know it's good. You should see it. It's
literally on my Netflix list, but I haven't gotten to it.
Bump it up. I'll mention this just because he's friend of a friend, Ross Marquand, who, you know, he was also in, spoilers for Infinity War, he was also in Infinity War. Most people know him from The Walking Dead. But Ross is a very good celebrity imitator. Like, he can do a lot of different people's voices. One of those being Hugo Weaving.
Oh, he was the guy.
Yeah, he was the guy. So... also from Marvel Cinematic, and for fans of Gilmore Girls, Sean Gunn is going to be there.
Sean Gunn was on Gilmore Girls?
Sean Gunn? Yeah, that's...
I figured he was just... What's-his-face's brother. Like Cliff Howard just gets on an all-around Howard movies.
No, he was in Gilmore Girls before James Gunn was even really James Gunn. Dang. I mean, he's not. He's one of the recurring characters, and
yeah, and he plays Rocket on set.
Kind of beloved. Yeah, yeah. He does the mocap for Rocket.
So he's been. They could have a little mini Guardians/Infinity.
Oh yeah, War. 100%. Also, Skeet Ulrich is going to be there, which I did not know
Scream.
This until last night. Until last night, my wife was watching Riverdale, and I happened to be walking through. Now, if you like Riverdale, that's fine. It's not my thing.
Never seen it.
And so, you know, people often say, oh, I don't like that. And having never given it a chance. And I would say that I probably would still be saying the same thing about Riverdale. Like, it's not my thing. I don't care for it. Having never watched it, except for the fact that I actually did watch one episode where I was in the room when one episode was on, not this last year at WonderCon, but the year before. I was feeling really sick toward the end of the day, and I just wanted a place to like go and sit down and work on articles. And so I went and sat in the big like dome room they have there for panels where they do their biggest panels, and it was freezing cold even though it was so hot outside because they had the air conditioners cranked. And really, I was running a fever, was why it was cold. But Manny and I went in there to see the DC animated Teen Titans. What's the name of the movie?
Teen Titans Go?
No, the movie that came out, the famous Teen Titans storyline with Tara, where she like Judas Contract.
Okay, I don't know much Teen Titans.
So we're in there to see that. Marv Wolfman's there, and it's really cool and everything. But we went early because Manny wanted to see the River. He watches Riverdale. I mean, no,
because he likes the Archie comics, right?
Oh. I don't think so.
No, that was Jason.
That was Jay that liked the
Jay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but no, Manny, he just likes some weird girly stuff sometimes, man. Like, I don't know, guy's not all there. So we went early. So man, and I'm like, oh, fine, I'll go in there. So I sat through an episode of Riverdale, and I'm telling you what, man, I got up and left like halfway through. I'm like, yeah, I'm sick and I want to sit down. I'm gonna leave my stuff here. And I'm just going to like go to the restroom and kind of walk around outside because I can't even have this dialogue going into my ears anymore without it them bleeding. I can't do it. So, but anyway, I digress.
He was in Scream.
Yeah, he's totally from Scream. But also, I'm walking through the living room last night. My wife's watching. I'm going to watch one episode of Riverdale before I go to bed. I'm like, ah, knock yourself out, whatever. And I glance at the TV and Skeet Ulrich is on the screen. He's in Riverdale. He plays like Jughead's dad or something. Which I don't even know if Jughead's dad is an actual character in any of the Archie comics. But yeah, he's Jughead's dad.
Isn't that like a murder series or something?
It's like take Archie, like, you know,
yeah,
Archie comics with, you know, being in high school and teenage relationships or whatever. And the original Archie, you know, it was all kind of fun and lighthearted and comic.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the comics.
Yeah. So take that, but maybe it's it be more like the modern day reimagining, like the one that Mark Waid did, where they made it a little more mature. But then also throw in like Dynasty, Dallas, Melrose Place, whatever kind of Desperate Housewives, you know, whatever kind of primetime soap opera, angst kind of whatever, you know, like 90210 cranked up to 11 with just darkness and people lying and conniving and scheming and whatever. And I'm just like,
meh. Sounds terrible.
I'm good, right? I'm good. So anyways, if you're a fan, of Riverdale, you've probably turned us off by now because we're bad mouthing it so much. But if you're a fan of Riverdale, hey, Skeet Ulrich will be there. I'm sure he'll be happy to talk to you about Scream or what other bad 90s movies was he in? What's the one with the witches?
I don't know.
You know.
The witches? The one
with
the witches.
With Nev Campbell, The Craft, right? He was in
Look, I only saw Scream for the first time 2 years ago. And when I was watching it, I'm like, this guy looks like a poor man's Johnny Depp. And that was my first and last impression of him.
Yes, and that's 100% correct.
And I know he was guilty from the first scene.
But
I was like, yeah, that's the guy.
He also was – are you telling me you haven't seen The Craft?
No.
Oh, my God, dude. Well, I guess you're a lot younger than me, so that kind of makes sense. Everybody saw The Craft back in the 90s. It's a movie about high school and people that didn't fit in. And high school, and they
like witches, right?
Yeah, they became witches, and yeah, it was suitably bad. But he was like the male love interest.
Oh, so him and Neve Campbell teamed up again?
Yeah, it was Neve Campbell and him and what's her name? Something Balak, Mila. You know, the girl from Waterboy. Don't tell me you haven't seen Waterboy.
I have. I don't like most Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah, I think her name is Maya Balak. She's in it. Anyway, also, for me personally, my favorite Skeet Ulrich movie of all time is Chill Factor. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Oh, my God. So bad it's good. He's playing like this guy who lives – I think they're like in like Montana or something. Some rural place where he likes to fish. There's a research facility close by where research scientists do all kinds of crazy top secret work or whatever. And he's kind of friends with one of the scientists that works there who likes to go fishing. And Skeet Ulrich works at a diner. And the scientist knows that he's being like followed or something's going on, top secret work, whatever. And he stumbles into the diner and he gives Skeet Ulrich this like super secret science thing he's working on. And it has to be kept really, really cold. But then there's people that are coming to steal it. And the doctor like dies in Skeet Ulrich's arms. So Cuba Gooding Jr. is an ice cream delivery guy. And he happens to be delivering ice cream to the diner place where Skeet Ulrich works. And the super secret material, whatever it was, I can't even remember, has to be kept at like a really cold temperature or it will explode. And so the scientist dies in Skeet Ulrich's arms, tells him, here's my super secret life's work. Got to keep it cold. You need to take it to this place far away and you got to keep it cold the whole time or the world's going to end or some kind of whatever. So Skeet Ulrich kidnaps Cuba Gooding Jr. so he could use his ice cream truck.
And that sounds great.
And makes him drive him like across country while these like eco-terrorists or whoever they are, these foreign people are trying to come after them. It's the best, man. It's so good.
I want that remade. As a Netflix series or a comic book.
Honestly, I can't believe it hasn't been remade. It's called Chill Factor. All you listeners, I hope you've had a chance. Like, seriously, at this point, I don't think anybody else is listening anymore. They're like, isn't this supposed to be Denver Comic Con preview? You guys are talking about.
Or Chill one Factor, guest away from the comics.
Which you're talking about Chill Factor with Cuba Gooding Jr. Is this the guy that got added?
Yeah, he was like the last minute add to like make up for whoever they lost.
All right, so Val Kilmer is going to be
Batman.
Not only Batman, Iceman. Not
and the Marvel Iceman. He just got.
Yeah, just got announced. He's going to be
He's going to be Iceman again.
So he's somebody that would be interesting to meet, I think. And I'm glad the guy's still around because he's been in some pretty cool nerdy stuff like Batman Forever, which I think
I'm gonna be honest, I love Batman. It's trash, but I love to rewatch it.
It's so bad. It's the best of the first four Batman movies.
Absolutely.
Because Michael Keaton as Batman to me is garbage. And what can you say about Batman and Robin except bat nipples? Do you know
Val Kilmer does a pretty good balance?
Do you know what killed the dinosaurs?
The Ice Age.
So bad. It's so bad. It's so bad it's bad. But Batman Forever is so bad it's good. You got Jim Carrey being over the top. You got Tommy Lee Jones. You got
Tommy Lee Jones lost.
Yeah. Oh man.
Nicole Kidman.
Not only like I think Real Genius is a big cult film that he was in. So yeah, he's been in a lot of great stuff.
They definitely used a picture from Batman.
He also was the voice for the Knight Rider remake of the car.
The one that like only got one episode or whatever.
Well, he did it for the pilot, and then they retooled it and tried to go for like half a season. And when they retooled it, they had Will Arnett do the voice.
Wait, did Will Arnett make it on? That means they retooled it the opposite way.
Oh, maybe
Will Arnett wasn't allowed to be on the pilot because he was doing voice work for GM commercials at the same time.
Oh.
Well, so he must have. I didn't realize the version he was on survived.
Yeah.
Well, now I need to watch that.
Either way, like, I know Will Arnett did the voice at some point, and I know Val Kilmer did the voice at some point. But Val Kilmer's also in one of my favorite like crime movies of all time, which is Heat.
Heat.
Yeah, Michael Mann, that's a great flick. So, but I say all that to say this, like I worry about Val Kilmer. Like the last few times I've seen him, he's looked awfully frail. I know he had a battle with throat cancer. So I hope he's doing better now. And I hope like he's kind of filled out because the last time, few times I've seen him, yeah, he's looked like really skinny and kind of sickly and everything. And so I hope, you know, cause yeah, when he was Iceman, when he was Batman, you know, very handsome. I think he's kind of a ladies man. I think a lot of the women like him for his role as Jim Morrison from the Doors movie. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Cause man, doing these shows as a celebrity, like being on your feet all day and meeting and being all, you know, kind of on, you know, for 12, 14 hours, it's pretty draining. So I hope he takes care of himself. So I don't, much like you, I don't plan on standing in line to meet any of the celebrities. Denver Comic Con is no different than any other comic convention when it comes to press. It's like, we don't have any like special access to the celebrities or anything like that. Denver Comic Con doesn't set up any like interviews or whatever. Some of the bigger shows will send out, if any of the celebrities are doing press rooms, they'll kind of send out, hey, this so and so is doing a press room and you can kind of sign up. Denver Comic Con doesn't do that either. So, we probably won't do much other than, you know, walk through the celebrity area. What's it called? Celebrity Summit. It's so funny that Denver Comic Con has all these cutesy names for their areas. It's like they think they're Disneyland or something with Tomorrowland. And
I'll probably go to like most of these panels with this, like there's a Star Wars panel and a Stranger Things panel, however else they pair them, because you get to go to the front of the line with a press pass, and then you get to sit in the third row.
They have limited reserved press seating.
Last time we got into everyone.
Yeah. That's usually, third row. That's usually what happens because, you know, like I don't really plan on covering any of those. And I don't know how much press, you know, shows up to these panels. But so David Harbour is the number one guy. Have you looked at the – not to completely go off the list here to guess, but have you looked at the celebrity panel or have you looked at the programming schedule? Like do you know what panels are at what time?
Have you seen that? Is that on the site? Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
Site. Yeah, it's on the site. Man, you're way behind. I already opened up my Google Calendar and I already put in all the panels.
Hey, last year I printed out the guide the night before I went on a roommate's printer. So I'm planning on printing out the guide tomorrow at work.
You know, when you get there, they'll give you a program.
I know. I didn't know that last year.
Or you can download the Denver Comic Con app on your phone and you can, you know, filter the program by searching.
And that didn't work last year.
Oh.
The app didn't work last year, for me at least.
It is good to have a hard copy because you may not have connectivity, so that's a good point. But yeah, we'll talk about programming a little bit. Let's see if we can go through the comic, I guess, faster than we did. We've been on here almost 40 minutes, so we are barely getting to the comic guess. All right. Adam Kubert, a very popular, well-known Marvel artist currently working on Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man, is going to be there. I have never met him, so I may chat him up a little bit. Amanda Dibert, also a illustrator, is going to be there. Amy Chu, known most recently for her work on Red Sonja covers. Arthur Adams, Marvel artist.
I was just going to say, Alan Bellman is just interesting because they have like a whole spotlight on Captain America creators and a spotlight on Batman. I mean, Captain America artists, people who worked on it, yeah. And they have a spotlight on Batman.
Yeah, he would be somebody interesting to talk to because he worked on the golden age of Captain America. I mean, we're talking before there was a Marvel Comics. You know, back in 1942, he was only a teenager, and he did some of the work on that. So
that's cool.
Yeah,
he's too old for a podcast, but
I mentioned him. he would be somebody interesting to talk to. I just don't know how much interest he would generate. I mean, a lot of people that listen to the podcast, most likely, and correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, are looking to hear about more modern creators. Not to say there's not worth in talking to some of the older creators, and I've done that. Arthur Adams, Marvel creator, illustrator. He does quite a few shows. I've never had him on. Always wanted to, but it's just one of those things that's never worked out, so perhaps we'll have him on. Brian Azzarello is going to be there. He was just on the show recently. Kat Staggs is going to be there, another illustrator. May sit down and talk to her about her most recent creator-owned title from Image, Crosswind. Also, Cecil Castellucci is going to be there. I'd love to sit down and talk to her about Shade the Changing Girl. Charles Soule is going to be there. I'm sure we'll say hi, but he was just on the show recently, so probably won't have him on. Christopher Priest is somebody that's always cool to talk to. I know you wouldn't mind meeting him. I've met him a few times, Nick, but he does the Deathstroke, so I know how much you're
doing Deathstroke. We just talked about him last week.
Definitely have to stop by and say hi to David Finch, who's a friend who's been on the show a few times. Incredible illustrator, done a lot of work for DC on Batman, got his start at Image, actually, and is currently working on the Captain Canuck series. Also, Donnie Cates, one of the hottest writers these days for Marvel. Don't know if we'll have time to get him on the show, just because usually when people are that popular, they're like swamped with fans. Frank Miller's going to be there. Forget about it. The guy will have a giant line the whole time.
Exactly.
And I know this is sacrilege, but I'm not as much of a Frank Miller fan as most people tend to be. It's not like I feel he's overrated or undeserving of all the attention he gets. It's just because I recognize how influential and groundbreaking his work was. I'm just not a big fan of it. Frank Thierry, who's been on the show before, definitely looking forward to seeing him. Let's see who else. Greg Capullo, superstar artist. He'll be also have a long line the whole time. He's so much fun to meet, and he really puts it all out there for his fans. He's really appreciative. Same with J. Scott Campbell. He'll have a giant line. He's super, super popular. James Tynan was just on the show recently. I'm sure we'll say hi to him. Jody Hauser, who just got announced on a new Valiant title, also writes Mother Panic for Valiant. I'm sure we'll say hi to her. I've been wanting to have her on the show, so maybe that's a possibility. Joe Eisma, who works on the aforementioned Archies, and one of my favorite series of all time, Morning Glories. John Beatty, who we still need to have on our Secret War Saturday episode. So maybe we'll do that at the show, or at least get that set up. Jonathan Glapion, who was on recently for a long time, spoke to us about inking. So I'm sure we'll say hi to him. Joyce Chin is going to be there as well. Ken Lashley, that's another illustrator that got announced on a Valiant project. He's going to be the new artist on Bloodshot. So we may hope to have him on to talk a little bit about that. Also, Marguerite Bennett, who was just on this last Monday talking about insects, and she has the critically acclaimed Animosity series from Aftershock Comics. She'll be there. Meredith Finch is going to be there. Definitely plan on having Meredith on to talk about her creator-owned series, Rose, from Image. Meredith and I have talked a few times about having her on, just haven't done it yet. So hopefully we can do that over the weekend. Mitch Gerrits, Eisner nominated. Mitch Gerrits, hopefully in a few months I can say Eisner winner Mitch Gerrits is going to be there. He's a friend, so I'm sure we'll chat with him.
Do you have any connection to Matthew Rosenberg or see out of?
Oh, I forgot about Matthew Rosenberg. I've never met Matthew Rosenberg. So yeah, I definitely want to chat him up. He's exclusive at Marvel right now. So yeah. I'll probably just go up and say hi and then let you do the talking because, you know, Marvel.
I'll just gush over the one book I love of his. No, so
I'm kidding. From all accounts, he's a really great guy to talk to. So yeah, we definitely should chat him up. Where was I?
Neil Adams, I think, is next.
Neil Adams, legendary comic creator, is going to be there. Paris Cullins, who a lot of work in the 80s and 90s for DC. Blue Devil, Blue Beetle, other characters that don't start with the word blue. So I'm looking forward to meeting him. Paul Pelletier, who my favorite work he's ever done is the New 52 Aquaman, but he's a great illustrator I've never met. Looking forward to meeting him. Peter Tomasi is going to be there. Ron Wilson's going to be there, who had a long run on the Thing solo title. Like, he drew all those Thing issues. The Rocky, was it Rocky Grimm?
Space Ranger or whatever.
Yeah, he did all those. So we may have to stop by his table and talk to him about that. Sam Humphries, who I haven't seen in a while. So looking forward to chatting with him. He's currently taking over Harley Quinn. So that'll be interesting. Steve Orlando is going to be there as well. Love to chat with him about the Unexpected, the New Age of Heroes book that he's doing. Also, some guy named Tom King is going to be there. He writes this character named Batman. I don't know if you guys are familiar. And if you guys want to see Tom King looking dapper, well, actually, it's too late now that I say that.
It would have aired already.
Yeah. As we record this,
check your Hulu.
He's going to be on, what is it, The Late Show with Seth Meyers?
The Late Show? The Tonight Show and then The Late Show. Yeah, The Late Show. No. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, The Late Show with Seth Meyers on Tuesday, 3 days before this, 3 days after this, 3 days before you're listening to this. So go back in time to Tuesday, June 12th, and make sure you tune in to see Tom King. I'm sure there's going to be all kinds of memes and replays of it all over because people love to give Tom a bad time. But he's going to be there. Look, I haven't seen Tom. When was the last time I saw Tom? San Diego, I think, last year. So that'll be cool. And also Zach Kaplan is going to be there. We'll be chatting with him about both Port of Earth and The Lost City Explorers, which comes out on the 20th. So looking forward to that. There's a lot of artists or author rather guests that if you're into that, like look it up on the site because honestly, there's too many to go through. And I same thing with The Real Heroes. Yeah, if you're interested, go and check it out. Should we mention the cancellations? I feel like it's just rubbing people's faces in what they can't have.
I don't even remember. Oh, there is a list of them. Yeah, we don't need to bring it up. Yeah. We should.
Okay. So the Stranger Things kids, I'm going to guess it's this Caleb McLaughlin.
Yep, and Gaten Matarazzo.
And Madeline. No. Sadie Sink. And
Noah Schnapp, yep.
Yep.
And then right below Noah, Scott Snyder.
Yeah, Scott Snyder was supposed to be there as well. Chad Harden, Clay Mann, Joshua Williamson. We're all going to be there from the
comics. Karen Gillan from Jumanji and the Guardians movies and Infinity War.
Yeah, and Cress Williams from Black Lightning. I'd love to meet him. So this is interesting, right? Like you were mentioning you'd like to meet Alan Tudyk, even though you had very small roles in Arrested Development.
Yeah.
That's your favorite show of all time. So Cress Williams was in a show for one episode, a show called Sports Night. That's my favorite show of all time. And he was on that show for one episode. And that's a funny character. And I'd love to meet him to talk to him about that. I don't care that he's Black Lightning. I've never seen any episodes of Black Lightning. I don't really want to talk to him about Black Lightning, but I'd love to talk to him about Sports Night. That would be kind of funny.
I didn't realize they lost Matt Smith.
Yeah,
David Tennant will get his own panel instead of it being a Doctor Who panel. Because I don't know anything about Doctor Who, but I like David Tennant.
Yeah, I mean, Karen Gillan was also on Doctor Who, so that's a couple of. We forgot to mention Laura Martin. She's a comic colorist. I would love to have met her. Matthew Lewis, who's from Harry Potter, also canceled. Tara Strong, who has done cartoon voices for just about everybody. She's probably most known for being Twilight Sparkle on the My Little Pony shows. And
just based on the poster, it looks like Madeline is from Riverdale.
That's certainly possible. And then, of course, the worst, most heartbreaking cancellation of them all, Luke Perry.
Whammy.
For all you 90210 fans, and I think he's been in some other shows. I really don't know what else he's done. So anyway, moving right along, I built my panel schedule, and I don't know what it is about Denver Comic Con, why they do this. I've never seen a show. Every good panel for comics is all bunched up in the middle of the day on Friday or on Saturday and Sunday. Like, why would you not spread them out? I really, really don't understand.
I've never run a Comic-Con.
It's quite disturbing. Like, seriously, they put them all, they bunched them all up. So on Saturday.
So this is on the website?
Yeah. If you go to the website and go to go to the little menu, the little hamburger in the upper right, you know, the three horizontal lines.
Yeah.
And go to programming.
Oh.
And there's
I got it.
There's filters on the right side where you can filter it if you want to just look at like comic panels or whatever. So while you look over that, I'll just talk about. So at 1 o'clock on Saturday, I want to go to the Marvel and DC compare panel where you get creators from both sides that have worked at both places that talk about how it's different. Very interesting. But at the same time, there's also Marvel creators through the years with like Art Adams and a bunch of – and Ron Wilson and a bunch of other Marvel creators talking about just, you know, Marvel. So I want to go to Buzz and split myself in half. But that's nowhere near as bad as at 2 o'clock when you have the Alan Tudyk panel. You have Captain America in comics. You have Wonder Woman in comics.
Oh.
And you have Young Justice all at the same time. Four great panels all at the same time. What do you do?
Captain America. That's what I do.
At 3 o'clock on Saturday, you have Batman in comics with Tom King and James Tynion and a bunch of other great Batman creators at the same time as the Valiant Harbinger Wars 2 and Beyond panel. Most people are going to go to the Batman panel, but I am a Valiant fan. We do Valiant Sundays. So again, and then at 4 to top it off, we've got the Writing Comics panel with some really great creators like Marguerite Bennett and Meredith Finch at the same time as the Milestone 25th anniversary panel with Dennis Cowan and Christopher Priest and some other creators. So I'm like, man, why? And that's it, right? It's from one to four, 3 hours. Put something at 9, put something at 10, put something at, you know, 5 or 6, like spread it out a little more. I'd at least be able to see one or two more. And then Sunday is no better. You've got another Batman and comics panel at 11 by itself, so that's fine. You've got a Superman panel at 12 by itself, that's fine. But then at 2, you've got creators. A lot of the creators I mentioned are veterans from way back when, talking about 80s and 90s comics and how different the creative process was back then. At the same time that you have some really awesome illustrators like Arthur Adams talking about how to do comic covers specifically and Greg Capullo. At the same time as you have James Tynion and Charles Soule talking about writing sci-fi and comics, and the Ron Perlman panels at that same time as well. So four panels at 2 o'clock, both on Saturday and Sunday.
I'm surprised how bare Friday is compared to last year.
Yeah, Friday doesn't
have anything on the main stage this year. Last year on Friday, I saw two Stranger Things kids, Weird Al and Kevin Conroy.
Yeah, I mean, I wish they'd move some of this comic creator stuff to Friday. It would be so much better. At 3 o'clock on Sunday, I want to go to Comic Creators because, again, it's just a bunch of great comic creators on stage talking about the craft. But there's a Valiant panel, Valiant Craft of Comics at the same time. And then there is an X-Men celebrating 55 years of the X-Men by itself at 4. So, yeah, I got some tough decisions to make. I'm going to probably, and I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do, honestly. Cause I know I'm trying to cover comic stuff. You're trying to cover movie and TV stuff. It's like, I mean, this happens a lot more than you would think. Even at San Diego, when it's 4 days, you know, and the programming goes on 10 hours a day, you still find conflicts and it's tough. You got to just make a choice. The thing about San Diego is most of the panels, almost every panel is going to be covered by some press outlet or other. So even things you miss, you can go back and see. A smaller show like this, that doesn't necessarily happen. So
no, but big news doesn't necessarily come out of there either. No, no. Like I came away with bits and scraps about Stranger Things 2 and The Defenders, but nothing big. And my friend who I went with last year asked Kevin Conroy a 5-minute question, which Kevin Conroy took 10 minutes to answer and I recorded it and transcribed it all.
Yeah, it's always tough.
I got some Weird Al news out of it.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't a show where you're going to get a lot of news, but again, and that's not all I go to the panels for. I'm still a fan. I still want to go and enjoy and meet people and everything. So I'm looking forward to all that. It's going to be fun to kind of show Nick the ropes. And they have a press room there that's you can sign up for to set aside for interviews. So hopefully, as opposed to like doing the interviews on the floor at Phoenix Comic Con or trying to find a quiet place, they have a quiet place for you. So really looking forward to that as well. There's a lot of great information on the website. We went over the guests, told you about some of the panels. I don't have that much information. It's not like I can give you pro tips like I can for going to like WonderCon or San Diego or whatever, because I've never been to this show. So I'm sure in the wrap-up show I'll have more to say about the actual show itself. But I'm definitely looking forward to it. And as we've said, if you're going to be there, please, please, please let us know. We'd love to meet you and hook you up with a free comic source lanyard. Any panels you saw, Nick, that you want to let people know about that you think they should be checking out?
Well, like personally, I'll probably be checking out the Guardians panel. Maybe Alan Tudyk, definitely David Harbour. And then David Tennant the next day and probably Ron Perlman. Those are like the ones on the main stage, at least.
Are you going to record them? Or are you going to?
No, I'll just jot notes. And if they say, they'll just say some little detail that suddenly becomes a news story on LRM. Like Weird Al talked about how he'd never make a third Star Wars song. So it's like, that's a news story. like someone asked him, like, when you're going to do your third one? And he's like, you know what? I don't want to have a trilogy of songs. Like, I don't want that to be expected. I don't want to have a whole Weird Al Star Wars show. So I decided to stop at 2. So
fair enough.
And they talked a little bit about the Defenders. They got a new story or two, and a quote or two. So,
all right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this preview. Again, not as much news as usual. If only because it's a show I haven't been to before. I don't know what Artist Alley is like there. I don't know what like the retail or the shopping is like there. So it's hard for me to say it. Just in general, when you go up to a creator, always be respectful. You know, please and thank you goes a long way. Don't set your stuff down on top of their artwork. Try not to linger in front of other people's tables when you're waiting to talk to somebody like actually next to them because they are there trying to show off their stuff. Be respectful of the pricing. There's some maybe room for negotiation a little bit, but I mean, those artists are there trying to support themselves and pay for their table and everything. So, just don't be a jerk. Being nice goes a long way. Please and thank you goes a long way. As far as like shopping, what I always say is go prepared. Whether it's a written list, a list on your phone of things to look for, you can haggle a lot more with retailers. It's expected. Comic dealers and such to haggle and try to get deals much more so than like trying to Jew an artist down on the price. I shouldn't say Jew. That's not a trying to get a deal from an artist is much less socially acceptable as opposed to a comic book dealer. So, if you're interested in checking out the merchandise there, back issues and whatever, always go prepared. Usually when I go to a show, if I'm looking to shop, I have like 2 or 3 specific books I'm looking for like most. I usually don't go with a giant list, but you can. That's certainly a possibility. But I usually, when I do, it's usually like WonderCon. I consider my shopping show. I'll pick like 1 or 2 older issues and look for like the best copy. Just go around all the dealers, ask them if they have it, and then walk away with 1 or 2 really cool books. So that's how I do it. Your mileage may vary. Anything else you want to add? There's going to be drinking to be had, and
it sounds wonderful. And, we're going to have a great time here in the Mile High City
and hanging with some comic creators and maybe some after hours drinking and hanging. We'll see. We'll see what we'll see what the scene is like. Again, I haven't been to Denver. Haven't been to Denver Comic Con, so not sure how that's going to go. So we'll see.
Pace yourself with the altitude.
Yeah, pace yourself with the altitude. It is
a that's a good recommendation for anyone who's not from Denver who thinks it's just easy to walk around.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I've been to the airport before. That's just as high as everyone else walking around. I didn't notice anything.
But you'll be walking a lot far. I saw someone just suddenly get hit with
start wheezing.
Like, it was literally, I was walking. No, someone collapsed. That it was a friend that from out of state, just at the Pearl Street Mall in Boulder for no reason. It was all altitude sickness. So wow. It's like, I did scary.
I did get a new bag, and I pulled it out of the box, like a new laptop bag, because my old one was, the strap was almost, I was supposed to be this heavy duty, like, not going to, but I mean, I carry around a lot of equipment sometimes for my day job, and I guess I just overstressed it. So I got this new bag, and I pulled it out of the box yesterday. Thing's huge. Like, I could fit Nick in there and carry him around. I'm not going to. It'd be too heavy. But I could not believe how big this bag is. I don't know. We'll try it this weekend. We'll see how it goes. I may keep it. I may not, because it's just so big.
So we can sell a press pass, make some extra dough, and then I can just come in the suitcase.
No, not going to happen. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to our random rantings and ravings, as always. Hope you're going to be at Denver Comic Con. And if you are, please, please, please let us know so we can hook you up with a free comic source lanyard. Don't forget, you can go to lrmonline.com for all past episodes of the podcast. Twitter.com/thecomicsource is where we can be found on Twitter. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three places are great spots to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So as always, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye.